Welcome back to the Mary Baloney Show. I'm your host, Mary Baloney, and you're listening to episode 57. Today's episode is called 8 Things Every Nonprofit Leader Can Learn from the 2018 Olympian Athletes. I don't know about you, but I love the Olympics, and we are in the middle of the 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea, and I have been watching most days. I mean, I try and catch the highlights. It's crazy because the time change is so different, so when I'm watching the evening news, it's always a pain when they start to show the Olympic medals, and I'm like, oh no, please don't tell me what's going on, you know, so, but it's been really cool to just be able to see all these incredible athletes come together and to really showcase all their hard work and their skill and their craft. And we get to see it on display. And for so many of these people, they have had these Olympic dreams since they were little kids. And the news, the media has done a really great job, as always, with the Olympics, that they share the stories of the Olympians and they go way back into, you know, when they first started. Chloe Kim won the gold medal in snowboarding, and they showed her as, you know, 4 years old, as her dad taught her how to snowboard. And, you know, you just think, oh my gosh, this girl has had this dream since she was 4 years old. Of course, she was only 17 and won the gold medal. But I mean, still, 4 years old, like, that's crazy to think that at that age, she already knew what she loved. And that story is not uncommon for a lot of these athletes, how they were so young. Because of course, being an Olympian, a lot of them have to be super young because their bodies just couldn't handle the beating if they were much older than some of them are. But one of my favorite athletes is Lindsey Vonn. And I don't know if any of you guys follow her story, but she's been interviewed a ton. She's one of the main U.S. celebrities when it comes to the Olympics. And this girl, I mean, she's only 33 years old, but still, that's fairly old for an Olympian, and she has been through so many injuries that, I mean, she basically went through in one of the interviews and went from like concussions to, you know, injuries to her arm, her back, her knees, her shin, broken left ankle, frostbite. I mean, this girl's from Minnesota, so I'm originally from up north, so I totally can understand that. But it's so crazy how, how much she's been through. And of course, she was suffering a knee injury over the last Olympics. So it's been 8 years since she's been able to compete in an Olympics. So she's back. And of course, everybody's watching what she's going to be doing. But she had over 9 major injuries in a 10-year span. So from 2006 to 2016, she had 9 major injuries and 5 major surgeries in that period of time. So talk about perseverance. Talk about somebody who has pressed on towards this thing that, you know, that she wanted so badly. And so this is one of the major reasons why I wanted to talk about this today, was because last week I talked about overcoming, you know, burnout and taking back control of your life. And I think these Olympian athletes can teach us as nonprofit leaders so much about all of that. And so I'm going to hit on 8 major things here on today's podcast. So this first one really deals with, Olympians expect obstacles. I mean, they just know it. I mean, Lindsey Vonn knew that she was going to have to overcome these injuries. You know, she's skiing down at 80 miles per hour. So it's not like this is, you know, not a big deal. Like, this is a dangerous sport. A lot of these guys are dealing with a lot of danger. And so they expect it. They expect those obstacles to come and they embrace them when they come. So when most people face an obstacle, what do? It's either fight or flight. You know, we put our fists up and we're ready to go, or we flee. And so many of us, when we come across an obstacle, it's super easy just to say, oh, it's too tough, it's too hard, I'm just gonna bail. And these guys that we're watching in the Olympics, they didn't bail. You know, they fought. They fought every single day. They showed up to practice every single day, and they fought through their injuries. And that's why they're Olympians. You know, it's not because they bowed down and said, oh, it's too hard, it's too much, I can't possibly do it. They fought. And as nonprofit leaders, I feel like that is so common for us, is that, you know, not every fundraiser is going to turn out. Not every conversation that we have with somebody is going to turn out the way that we had hoped it would. But if we just flee and we just turn to the next thing and say, we're just going to hang that up and we're going to start over and we're going to do something different, well, what happens? We don't learn from our mistakes. We don't fight through that obstacle. We just flee and we move on to the next thing. And so I want to encourage you right here is that I want you to take and learn from these Olympic athletes that we have to expect obstacles are going to come our way and we're going to embrace them and we're not going to flee. We're going to fight. We're going to fight for our cause. We're going to fight for our people. So that's number one. Number two, Olympians put their lives on the line. I don't know if you saw the interview. One of the guys he's a loser. My husband likes to say that he's a loser. But anyways, he, on the course that they were on, he was saying it really was do or die. And he's like, the course was so slick and so fast that he's like, all I could do was there was two options. Either one, I'm just going to put my head down and I'm going to go as fast as possible. And I'm going to win or I'm going to crash. And there's really no option there. It's either we're going to do this thing and we're going to win or we're going to crash and I might just land in the hospital. And he didn't seem to flinch at that. The thought of just going so hard and being all in, I mean, that was the only option he had. He's like, I've worked way too hard. I've come to this place and I'm in the position where it's either I win or I lose. And there's really no other option here. So I don't know if you're that way or not, but it's just the fact that it's like figuring out, is what we're doing worth it? You know, are the people that we serve worth it in the fact of whether or not this is, we're willing to put our lives on the line, put our own wants to the side because we want to serve the people that we serve. So that's number two. Number three is winning isn't everything, but wanting to win is. And I think that you can see that in a lot of those athletes is that they want so desperately to win, but winning isn't everything because a lot of them have lost a lot. I mean, you look at Shaun White. I mean, like he crashed in Sochi 4 years ago and he didn't make the medal stand, you know, but he had won gold the Olympics before and he had won the Olympics before that as well. And so here he was, two Olympic gold medals, crashes in Sochi, and then shows up here in South Korea and wins a gold again. You know, so three gold medals, four Olympic, you know, the showings, the fact that he was competing in four different Olympic, competitions is that here he was. I mean, he lost. It's not that winning is everything, but he wanted so badly to win, you know, and a willingness to do whatever it took. And that's the thing when we keep talking about these injuries, it's crazy what they do. It's crazy how much they're willing to practice and to heal their bodies in a way that allows them to come back and actually win again. So that loss, and when people say like, you know, how did you get over it? And he flat out in an interview, he's like, I'll never get over it. You know, nobody likes to lose. You know, he didn't show up in Sochi to lose. He showed up to win. And so when he lost, yeah, that's devastating. And that will never, ever leave him. And the same for us. I mean, when we work so hard to do something and it doesn't go our way, I mean, we don't just say, oh, bummer. It's like, no, that stings. You know, it stings and it makes us want to be better at what we do. So we train, we find out more ways to do it better. I mean, if somebody says no to you as a donor, if you've worked so hard to showcase your cause and to get in front of these people and they say no, well, what happens? You go back to the drawing board and you figure out, why did they say no? Why didn't this work out? And sometimes it's in our control and sometimes it's not. I mean, I've said this before that sometimes there's just things that are going on in their business. There's things that are going on in their personal lives that just you can never control. And no matter how hard you worked and no matter what you did, it wouldn't have fixed it. But the thing is that for the most part, what I'm doing is I'm going back to the drawing board and I'm figuring out, okay, was it something, was it the pitch? Was it how I said it? Were they just not the right people? Maybe I just didn't get in front of the right people. Or maybe our fundraiser isn't resonating. And the things that we're doing right now is we're exhausting people. We're running them through the mud and we're not giving them an opportunity to shine. So I'm always going back. If I lost, if it didn't work out, if it didn't, you know, deliver the way that I wanted it to, well, then I'm going to go back and I'm going to figure it out because I want to win. You know, I want to win. Now, is winning everything? No, but I want to win, right? Okay, so that was number three. Number four, Olympic athletes have accountability. So they have a coach. You know, most people think that they can do it on their own, but Olympic athletes and athletes in general have coaches. You know, I was watching the biathlon and these guys were shooting. It's kind of a crazy sport, but I mean, like they're cross country skiing and then they're shooting. And on the side of the road are their coaches. And you can see this with every single one of these athletes. Like they always, the media goes back and forth between their coaches and between the athletes themselves. And sometimes it's hard to tell who's more happy, you know, who's more excited when the athlete does exactly what they had trained to do. Was it the coach or was it the athlete, you know, because the coaches are so invested in the success of the athlete. And when they win, the coach wins too. And so I'm watching the biathlon and I'm watching these coaches on the side of, it's kind of like a, you know, a marathon run and these guys are cross country skiing. And on the side of the trail is their coaches that are running and screaming alongside of them. And I just thought to myself, I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so me working with so many of the nonprofit leaders that I get to work with, is that I feel like I am on the side of the road screaming and just cheering you on because I want so desperately for you guys to win. And so it was really cool to kind of make that comparison because, you know, I noticed that there's a lot of nonprofit leaders out there who don't have a coach. You know, it's as if they were running this biathlon, that they were doing this competition without anybody by their side. I mean, can we imagine any one of these athletes succeeding in their skill set, in their craft, without their coach? I don't know about you, but I can't imagine. Why would they show up to practice every single day? I mean, I know some people are so super motivated, but that's hard. There's not a lot of people out there that are like that. And so they need to know that they're showing up to practice every single day and somebody is waiting there to meet them. And that person is there to make sure that they're held accountable to what their goal is. If they want to be in the Olympics, well, then their coach is going to train them every single day with the Olympics in mind. You know, when you watch these figure skaters and you know, like, oh, like they have to do these twizzle turns and these, you know, triple loop cow sow, whatever it is. And you know that if they don't land it perfectly, if they don't follow the guidelines to a T, they will not win. So their coaches are sitting there watching every single move that they make so that when they show up to the Olympics, that they don't get docked a single point. And you know that they can't do that by themselves. There's not a single athlete that's showing up on that figure skating rink thinking that they're going to actually, you know, do their very best without somebody who walked with them through the entire process. But that's the thing, like that coach is with them the whole time. But here's the deal, is that they have accountability. You know, that those athletes have somebody that's walking with them and they listen to that one coach's voice. You know, a lot of times we like to learn from a lot of different people. And so sometimes we're like, well, we want to learn from this person and this person's telling us what to do. But do you realize that how that can be so confusing for somebody who's trying to succeed at something? You know, if you don't have that one coach who's giving you the playbook for success, you're not going to succeed. Could you imagine looking at like anybody who's playing like NFL or, you know, the NHL or NBA or any of these major sporting organizations, what if they had two head coaches? I mean, just changing from one head coach to two head coaches. I mean, of course, they have a huge coaching staff. It's not that. But the head coach, that one coach is the one that's giving them the plays. That's the person that's telling them what direction to go. And all those athletes are following that one voice. And so I know whatever it is that you're doing right now, it's so easy to listen to a lot of different voices. But I want to tell you, you need to find your one voice and follow that one voice because they're giving you a playbook. And if you've got 10 coaches and you got 10 different people who are giving you 10 different playbooks, I mean, could you imagine why you're not succeeding and why you're not doing what you need to do? And so you may have a coach that's helping you on your mission side, and then you may have a coach that's helping you on your fundraising side. And that's the thing, totally different playbooks. Your mission is doing one thing, but your fundraising is doing something different. So that's why I love that you guys join in on this podcast every week, because I want to be your coach, you know, but I also want to make sure that you succeed. And sometimes people start listening to a lot of different voices and then they say, why is this not working? Why is this so frustrating? And it's because you got a playbook with 100 different plays in it and you haven't locked into one voice. So I do want to encourage you that coach, whether that's me or somebody else, is that you follow their playbook and watch it through. If you trust what they're saying to you, if you believe that they're a good coach, then you want to walk with them and follow their lead and follow their guidelines. So that's really, really important. So number five, Olympic athletes are teachable. And so just like they're coachable and they have accountability with their coach, they're also extremely teachable. You notice that these athletes don't act like they've got it all figured out. They're always improving. When they're interviewed, they're oftentimes talking about how they're continuously getting better at their craft. They're continuously working to get better at what they do. You don't ever see an athlete say, oh, yeah, I arrived 4 years ago at the last Olympics and I didn't have to practice because I know now. No, like no way. Every single day they're showing up, learning how to get better, how to perform better tricks, how to land those jumps better. And they're working towards it every single day. They don't ever come to a place where they just say, oh, I figured it out. And how many times as nonprofit leaders do we say, oh, yeah, I've already learned that. Oh, I already know how to do that. Well, I'm going to call you on that, because we cannot get complacent. We can't sit back and say, oh, yeah, we figured that out. And if we put on a fundraiser many times, year after year after year, you still have to get better at it. You still have to look at, okay, what new technology is out there? What new options are available to us so that we can create a better experience for our guests? And so every single event that we put in, every single campaign, every person we ask to come on as a donor to our cause, we have to be teachable to figure out, how do we better say this? How do we better share our story so that we can get more people to come on board with us? So I want you to know that being teachable is probably, out of everything that I'm talking about today, is probably the most critical part of the whole process. Is that, what if these guys just weren't teachable? What if they didn't want to learn? They wouldn't be in the Olympics, I guarantee you that. You know, so being teachable is so important. So I want you to come at your fundraising and come at your leadership as a nonprofit leader in a place of being a student, that you are willing to learn and you're willing to try new things because you are a good student and you want to get better. And I'll be honest, I'm a teacher, but I'm a student. Like, I will never stop learning. And I love reading books and continually, looking at other people who are successful, you know, who are doing really well at this. And a lot of the stuff that I teach you guys, I'm actually learning on the business side of things. And I'm watching how business leaders are using the tactics and using technology and all that. And what I'm doing is I'm trying to just flip that and say, okay, these businesses are successful using these tactics. How can our nonprofit leaders be successful using very similar tactics? You know, but the thing that we're challenged with is that we have to not only serve our constituents, the people that we are raising the money for, you know, we have to serve them in a way that they want to keep coming back for the things that we're offering to them. But then we also have to serve our donors. So as nonprofit leaders, we have twice the work as our business partners do, you know, the people who are in the business field. You know, so it's crazy, because sometimes I think that we look at businesses as being the leaders and nonprofits as being like secondary and not as equivalent to these businesses. And I'm like, oh my gosh, nonprofit leaders, you guys have twice as much work. You know, you have two times the challenges. So that's why focusing on your mission is one part of it, and focusing on your fundraising is another part. So, but in both areas, you have to be teachable on how you can best serve both sides of the work that you do. So both your donors and your constituents. That's so important. So that's number five, is to be teachable. Number six is Olympians know that good is not good enough. So if Olympians say, oh, this is good, it's fine, it's good enough, no way, they won't win. You know, so they have to be the best. They have to be the best at what they do. Not good. Good is not good enough. You know, so for each and every one of us, how can we be the best at what we do? You know, and they have such an incredible work ethic, you know? And so, but being able to, you know, that good and good enough, they have to be the best, you know, to win. So getting by is just, you know, not an option. So getting by, and I cannot tell you how many nonprofits I come across where they're just trying to get by. They're just trying to pay their bills. And that's the thing. They're in a state of basically, like, they don't have, it's a state of desperation is what I'm trying to say, is that when you come off as being desperate because you're just trying to get by, people don't want to be a part of that. You know, I don't want to cheer for Lindsey Vonn because she's taking 20th place. I want to cheer for Lindsey Vonn because she's going for the gold. You know, she's going to win. And I want to be a part of somebody that I want to be a winner too. You know, I want to win. Nobody wants to be a part of a nonprofit that's losing. They want to be a part of a nonprofit that's winning, that's changing lives, that's making a difference. And so all that, you know, comes back to the fact that you're not just trying to be good. You're not trying to just be good enough. Like, you're trying to be the best option, the best at serving the population of people that you serve, because their lives matter way too much to do it just good or just to get by. So this is where we are knocking this thing out, and we're going to be the best versions of ourselves possible, you know? So that was number six. Olympians know that good is not good enough. And seven, Olympic athletes are consistent and they're creatures of habit. I don't know if any of you guys have read, Michael Phelps' process. You know, he's an Olympic swimmer. I know it's not the Winter Games, but Michael Phelps has won so many gold medals that it's just, I mean, it's crazy, but he's so focused on his habits. You know, there's certain things that he does. He's got such a routine every single day, how he practices, how he swims before competitions. He's got a very consistent routine. We all know when we've seen him compete, I mean, how he gets up on the podium, he takes one earbud out, he takes the other earbud out for his music. He swings his arms across his body where he hits his shoulder blades, comes back down. And the whole time his coach has trained him to, and continues to tell him to run the tape in his mind that he has already won. So his routine and his habits are what forms this consistency that causes him to win. And it's so crazy because I don't think that we have a tape that we run where we're winners. I don't know about you, but oftentimes we get caught in this, well, we'll take whatever we can get, and we don't play the tape where we win. You know, so when I walk into every single meeting with a potential donor, I ask the question, what do I want out of this meeting? I'm running the tape. What does winning look like? What does this conversation with this person look like? And what does winning mean? So if I don't have any expectations of how this conversation is going to go, it's probably not going to go good, because I don't even know what good looks like. I don't even know if I got out of this conversation what I wanted to, because I didn't even know what I wanted when I came into it, you know? So I want you to run the tape every single time you're meeting with somebody and you're talking to somebody. I want you to have an expectation of, well, what does winning look like? You know, and not that they're going to follow through. Back to what I had said on, you know, that Olympians, you know, winning isn't everything, but they want to win. So I want you to show up, and you might not win. They might not say yes. They might not come on board, but I want you to expect, you know, that you're showing up ready to win. Okay. So that is, number seven is consistency, and they are creatures of habit. They know what they want. They know why they want it, and they know how they get to the place where they're actually achieving their goal. So just like I said, Michael Phelps already has seen himself won before he even jumps in the water. He's run the tape over and over again to the place where he's won. So I want that for you too, is that as you're thinking about meeting with potential donors and them saying yes to you, I've already created in my mind that they're already going to say yes, and they're going to be on board. You know, so I've shared before, there was a gentleman that I wanted on board, and he was a jeweler. Well, when I came into this meeting, I knew I wanted him to buy a table at my event. I wanted him to donate a Rolex, and I wanted him to look at my cause as his charity of choice. You know, so I walked into that meeting, even though I wasn't the one who set up the meeting. I had a volunteer who actually set that meeting up, but I walked into that meeting thinking to myself, a win is a Rolex, is a table, and is commitment that he wants to be a part of our cause, that he wants to be an advocate for what we were doing. So I already knew. Had he said no to any of those things, it would have been okay. But here's the thing. I already knew what I wanted. So when he said, well, what do you want? Because he's waiting for me to say, tell me how I can help you. And so that's when I come back and say, well, we want you to buy a table. We want you to come to the event. We want you to be there. And then we want you to consider giving a Rolex, because we want an exceptional live auction. And so I want the best of the best. And we only have 10 spots for the best items, and we want a Rolex in it. And he said yes to all of it, you know? So, but that's not by chance, because I had already run the tape. I knew exactly what I wanted out of the conversation, and I did my part. And then it was up to him whether or not he wanted to be a part of it. So anyways, that is number seven, is just being consistent and being a creature of habit. So, and then number eight is Olympians compartmentalize their emotions. If you notice that once they show up to the Olympics, you know, they're on a big stage. There are millions and millions and millions of people who are watching them perform. And so can you imagine how that could get in your head and how you could just crumble under the pressure? So they cannot let emotions run their mind. They have to stay focused on the fact that they have trained for years and years and years, and this is their time. This is their time to shine. And so what do? They stay so completely focused with intensity to not allow the moment to take over them, you know, not to let all those emotions, not to let the pressure, let any of them take over. And so all they can do is just focus on being the best versions of themselves in that moment. And isn't that the thing for us too, is that we don't have to watch what other charities are doing. We just need to show up and do what we're the best at. Nobody can do what your cause does. So you don't even have to think about what the competition is doing. You just need to show up and perform. Go take care of the people that you were called to take care of. Tell people about how they can be a part of it. And you just show up. You don't crumble under the pressure. You don't try and be somebody else. You are you. You can only be the best version of yourself. And so a lot of times when athletes are interviewed, they get asked, you know, like, what were you thinking about, you know, while you were competing? What was running through your mind? And they're like, nothing. I mean, and it's like, we're expecting some crazy answer. And in the end, they're like, nothing. Nothing was running through my mind besides doing my very best, just doing what I do every single day, showing up and delivering what I do every single day. When you have such a confidence that you have done this before, you've landed that, you know, these figure skaters are looking at, I have landed this jump over and over and over again. Why would today be any different? I'm going to show up and I'm going to do what I do best. And that's exactly what we need to do as nonprofit leaders, is that we just need to show up and do what we do best. Nobody does what you do better than you. So a lot of people will use the terminology about, you know, that it's just unconscious, you know, and there's lots of different ways that you can go over this, but think about like tying your shoe or driving into work every single day, or driving for that matter, or brushing your teeth, or combing your hair, or taking a shower, any of those sorts of things that are just so unconscious. Like, you don't even think about it. Like, you just wake up in the morning, you do your routine, you get ready for work, you go to work, you go do your thing, you know? And in the end, it's kind of like, as so often we find ourselves, I mean, I found myself so many times driving into work and I was like, how did I even get here today? Like, I didn't even remember how I didn't remember like driving on certain streets or stopping at certain stoplights. I just autopilot showed up and I was like, oh, that's crazy and almost a bit creepy, you know? But that's what we do when we're so good at what we're doing. And that's what these Olympic athletes are doing, is that it's just unconscious. They have done it so many times that their body and their mind functions at a pace that just allows them to deliver. So that's what we also need to do, is that we keep practicing, we keep knocking on doors, we keep talking to new people, and it just becomes unconscious for us that we can tell these stories and we can share the message of what it is that we're doing in a way that's just so unconscious. It's just a habit. But I think that we get so nervous and there's fear and anxiety that comes with fundraising when you're first getting started because you don't really know how to tell your message very well. So that's where practice makes a difference and why all these things that I've talked about today, being teachable, being coachable, having that accountability, you know, thinking about winning, you know, you don't have to win all the time, but when you're thinking about you're showing up and you're going to win, you're going to overcome those obstacles, you're going to put your life on the line. And I know I don't want you to have to put your life on the line. This isn't a dangerous sport that we're a part of, but you know what? I know that there's a lot of people who are listening right now that are in countries and working in fields where it is dangerous. And sometimes you do have to put your life on the line because the people you're serving, other people don't want you to serve them. And so you may very well be in an industry, a part of our nonprofit world, that it is dangerous and you do have to put your life on the line. And so all these things that I've talked about today, you know, these Olympians are such a great example of what we can learn as nonprofit leaders. So these 8 things every nonprofit leader can learn from the 2018 Olympian athletes, I hope that you've been able to grasp how we are no different. You know, that these guys that have gotten to the place where they're in, where they're on this stage, it's not by chance that they're on this stage. And it's not by chance that your cause is going to be on a stage or is on a platform, is seen in your community, in the country, in the world, that it's given that sort of platform because you put in the work. You showed up every day. You brought on that coach. You were teachable. But do you see how this comes back to you being the best version of yourself, that you guys delivered with the tools that you had? You sought after that one playbook and you stuck to it every single day so that you could best serve your people. And so that right there, oh, that's it. You know, that we have every ability to raise whatever dollar amount we want to raise, to serve whatever population of people we want to serve. But it's so important that we show up every single day and we're ready to do whatever it takes, put our lives on the line, change our habits, change the way that we're doing things so that we can be a better version of who we are so that we can best serve our people. And one of my friends often says that he asks the question, who do you have to become? What do you have to do today to become the leader you want to be tomorrow? You know, what do you have to do? What habits do you have to change? What mindsets do you have to change so that you can be a better version of yourself so that you can serve the people you want to serve? So I challenge you with that today, that if there's habits in your life that you need to rid yourself of or that you need to kick into gear so that you can be a better version of yourself, then I will push you to make that happen today. So I hope you guys have a great week. As always, if you're not a part of the Fundraising Freedom Tribe, I want to invite you to join join us. We're on Facebook. It's just Fundraising Freedom Tribe. You can search it in the in Facebook, and I would love to have you join us in there. And definitely ask. I mean, I want you guys to ask questions. I want you to learn. I want you to be teachable, but I also want to coach you through the process. So thank you for showing up week after week. And if you enjoy this podcast, I encourage you to leave a review, and we'll see you right back here next week. Hope you guys have a great week. Enjoy watching those Olympics, and pay attention. Pay attention to how those coaches are coaching and how the athletes are zoned in on what it is that they want to achieve, and see if we can't infiltrate and do a few of those things, bring those into our nonprofit so that we can be better leaders for our people. So hope you guys have a great week. Go change the world one volunteer and $1 at a time.